Melody Beatty said, "Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. Gratitude turns what we have into enough." The fourth chapter of James, first few verses read this way. "Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Don't they come from your cravings, your desires that are at war within you? You want something and you don't have it, so you murder. You covet something and can't obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and you don't get because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your own pleasures. Adulterers, don't you know that this friendship with the world is enmity with God?" And then it gets heavy after that. James is asking some rhetorical questions and highlighting some difficulties that were true then and obviously are still true now. He asks, what is the source of the conflict? Which I think is interesting. Some translations ask, from where do your conflicts come? But none of the translations ask, who? Because James isn't writing his brothers and sisters to say, hey, I heard there's some ugliness happening in your midst. Who started it? Fess up so we can get things back to where they need to be. He doesn't want them putting the letter down and asking each other whose fault is all this. What he's doing is asking them each to quietly look inside themselves and ask a what question. Because for James, the issue isn't that some other person is to blame for the fighting and general lack of joy. The issue is this recurring thing inside really each of his readers and us. And that thing, unless we've specifically allowed God access to this part of our maturity, is discontent. For some of us, a raging discontent over the life that we already have. A discontent over the life God has already given us. Which is sort of a war of discontent that's being waged and escalated and can never really be satisfied because satisfaction would be equated with contentment. And so for some, this discontentment just simmers as a low-grade envy of other people's success or a quiet sense of entitlement to new and better things or a hope that you'll get more friends on Facebook or Twitter, or it's that roll of the eyes when the prettier girl walks in the room. Or for some, it feels less superficial than that. It's perpetual discontent that has them convinced their life isn't going to matter unless they see their name in lights, or at least on the front of the building or on an office door, or their life won't matter unless their house is the nicest, the biggest, or at least bigger than someone else's, their car faster than others, their waist thinner than others, their wallet fatter than others, their words most respected, on and on and on. No matter what they acquire or achieve, contentment never comes. And the reason is because discontentment has a slogan, and it's simply the word more. And the cruel truth is that more can't be achieved because more is an abstraction. It's as untouchable as a rainbow. As soon as you think you've gotten to it, you're not anywhere closer to it. As soon as you think you've gotten to more, you're left with the reality that more invites your continued dissatisfaction and invites you to want more. More security, more money, more fame, more beauty, more enjoyment, more comfort, more friends, more respect, more esteem, more, more, more. And if we continue to let ourselves believe that we lack things or that we must have more of something and that to get it, we must maybe get it from someone else or get at it before someone else does, or at least not have less of it than others, whatever it is, tangibles or intangibles, suddenly we have tension, fights, war, conflict, and all kinds of ugliness, the kind that James was addressing then and now. It's sort of like a game, and frankly, this is an all-time global favorite game. And that's why James calls it friendship with the world. It's living in accord with discontent. It's playing this game that the world tries to master, even though when you win, you lose because you're still miserable. You're still at war. And it's in fact not really a game, as some of us have discovered, but an adulterous relationship where God is in this picture sort of fooled around on as we go chasing after other things that will promise happiness. More, more, more. So, should we feel shame and guilt over being driven to succeed in a certain area, or are we in fact condemned for a legitimate entrepreneurial spirit, having a gift for generating resources, having nicer things than we had 10 years ago, or for having or wanting anything good at all? Should we be condemned for all that? I don't think it can be said enough that guilt and condemnation are not kingdom currencies. God doesn't work that way. In fact, Paul says, in Christ, there is no condemnation. The issue is learning gratitude because it's good for us. God wants us, no matter where we are and what we possess or don't possess, to embrace a true spirit of thanks for ourselves and for others who will be blessed by our gratitude as well. Because without gratitude, life is a large, drawn-out anxiety attack over what we don't have or don't get. And so if you were the dad of all humanity, what would you want your kids to do? Would you want your kids dividing over their internal demands and lusts and entitlements over something as unattainable as more? Or would you want them to understand that the true secret of peace is gratitude, a thankful heart that can find joy in any circumstance? And so today, the invitation is for us to find gratitude within ourselves in the circumstances we're already in, toward things that might have been called a deficit just yesterday, to find gratitude with what already is, to find a way of being thankful for what we already have, tangibles or intangibles, to really do the work of finding ourselves thankful before a single other thing changes. And so maybe we can tinker with the idea that our lives of tension is a choice that we forgot we've been making. We were choosing conflict. We were choosing tension. That the way of discontent is sort of a bottomless pit where loving anything other than ourselves slowly becomes impossible because we're always, always thinking about tending to our own needs so that we can someday have peace, someday be thankful. But what if today, what if we believe that that old way is inferior to a life where no matter what we have or don't have, and no matter how it compares, that we have a joy already available to us now? So I guess paradoxically, what I'm saying is, what if we were more content